This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
Hey, my name is Brant, and I would like to be a cool DJ because, A, it would be cool to be cool. Secondly, this one DJ, his name's Calvin Harris. I just saw this online. He makes $66 million a year.
Well, that's a pretty penny.
And you might guess like what my salary is, and it's less than what this guy's making.
slightly less.
He's making $66 million. I'm on the, like, if you're doing a greater than, less than symbol,
yeah.
I'd be on the other side of the
you're not getting gobbled up.
Yeah, so, question, how awesome does he have to be to make $66 million? I mean, how awesome would I have to be, like, is he oh, here's the next song, really good, and he's all smooth?
No, I mean, he may be smooth, but he's not a radio DJ, he's like a club DJ mixing and... almost like a recording artist. Do you know how to do that? I've never seen you do that.
I don't. I wonder, like, for DJs on the radio, like, if you can be so good. Like, wow, he started that song and it sounded really good when he played it.
Yeah, let's give him $66 million for how he started that Mercy Me song.
I promise to give a lot of it right back to the station. That is my promise to you. I just wondered about this. When you listen to the radio, do you want... somebody who's all like, "And hey, now we got this next song. It's coming up." And you want that? Because I don't.
Okay.
It's a personal thing. But I was seeing this, like, how much DJs make and stuff like that.
Right.
And it didn't make me think, like, is that what people want?
Okay. If they do, would you be able to do that?
Totally.
Consistently, though?
I don't know.
No, you couldn't do it consistently.
Hey, we got this big song from this big... oh, I'm best friends with this artist, and we hang out all the time.
No, you couldn't.
I don't think
I could hold that up.
Forget it. I can't. So we heard from someone who was listening to us who was glad that they were, because we had talked about this new book that's out, Jesus and His Wife and His Two Kids, or whatever. There's no... like respectable scholar who would sign on to this book, but it's out and it causes people problems because, like, oh, the book says, even though there's no basis for it. What's interesting to me is that when people attack my faith, I believe that Jesus is who he said he was. When they attack that, a lot of times it's, well, that's myth. There's so many myths back from thousands of years ago. Here's the problem. It's not written like myth at all. In fact, if I'm supposed to believe that it's not true and the writers knew it, they invented a whole new literary form, like 1,500 years before anybody else did it, realistic fiction. They included stuff. It's amazing. When Jesus comes back from the dead, he ate not just a fish, he ate broiled fish, not fried fish, broiled fish. They indicate, like, specifically what he was eating. They're clearly trying to say this actually happened. They mention who was in power and for how long, actual historical figures, and it's written decades after the fact. It's not written thousands of years. It's not written like myth, and no one had ever written in that style before. If they intended it as fiction, as myth, no one had ever done that. They pioneered a whole new literary genre that no one picked up for 1,500 more years. I doubt it. When I'm reading about Jesus, I'm reading firsthand accounts from people who are interacting with him. And no, there's no wedding there. What they're with Jesus getting married, what there is, though, is an awful lot of Jesus saying, "I'm the way." I'm not even pointing the way. I'm the way. So I have to deal with that. Just talking about how if the guys who were writing about Jesus at the time were trying to write myth, why would they include in all these details? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Realistic fiction as a genre hadn't been created.
It didn't exist for another 1,500 years.
Right.
So they're including little details. I mentioned the broiled fish, like Jesus ate broiled fish after he rose from the dead. They're trying to indicate he was physical. They're indicating detail, what I remember from it. Like, if somebody's making this stuff up, I would include that.
Oh, details like him sighing. Like, there was a time where he was so agitated, I guess, with the disciples and their lack of faith, and says he sighed deeply inside of himself. Or even, how about the miracles? You know, a woman pressing to get to him to touch the hem of his garment. I mean, that's...
Why would you include the details of this stuff? Or stories about the disciples being total fraidy cats?
Right, yeah.
Like, normally if you're writing to make yourself look awesome, you don't include this stuff. But they look foolish.
That's a good point, yeah.
This kind of literary genre, if they were intending something that wasn't true, it was like way ahead of their time,
right.
Thousands of years, and no one understood. It's because they meant it, and they're including these details because it was true. They have, I don't even know who, it doesn't even matter to me.
Them, they.
I am so thankful to these people, whoever they are. You know how I love toast.
I do.
You know how I love Viking stuff.
I do, yes.
They have invented a Viking toaster. It is so cool. It's like gilded with all sorts of Norse, like metalwork on it and stuff. It is beautiful.
Well, that was nice of them.
And what do you know? Christmas is coming up. And I don't know if you've shopped yet.
I see where this is going.
For me, but it's only, I think they said it's like $18,000. There's like gold and stuff on it.
Oh, well, as long as gold is on it,
and
then.
You would think for $18K, you would get more than like two slots.
Yeah.
But that's all it is. But still.
You're okay with
so
that.
So cool. It has like a horse, like a gilded horse head that you force down instead of a normal lever.
Mm.
And then, oh yeah.
$18,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Christmas is coming up. Hey, this is for you. If you know a joke, I mean, most people know one joke.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know a joke?
I'm sure I do.
You're not a joke, but you're not
I'm
a joke
not a
person.
Joke person, no, sorry.
But
I'm sure I could come up with one if need
just
be.
Just a joke.
And why are we doing this again?
Well,
I'm still a little
this
confused
this is for Thanksgiving. That way we settle on one really great joke.
Okay.
And then everybody can be armed with a joke. That way you'll have a joke that you
for
can
Thanksgiving?
Use.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah, at the table.
Okay.
You'll be like, hey, I got a joke. We'll all be armed with a joke.
The same joke.
The same joke, but at each individual Thanksgiving table, we can tell a joke, report back about how it went. But we settle on one that's really funny. Thing is, we need one. So call and leave it. Leave your joke on our phone number. It's 855-90-BRANT, B-R-A-N-T, 855-90-BRANT. And then, like, we've had people do it.
We right? have. Here's someone.
Okay.
What do you call a pink carnation?
Pink carnation. I don't know what...
Oh, no. I'm one of those people that hit the punchline first. Okay, never mind.
Okay, so there's one...
This one, and, we didn't get
but
no,
this just geez. Illustrates it's hard. Jokes are hard. They seem easy, but they're really not easy at all. That's really actually
what that illustrated.
Quite a struggle. So yeah. We're already gonna have somebody call in and go, I'll tell you what a joke is. Your show is a joke.
Okay. We've heard that a million times.
And we salute that. And you're right. But there's no point in doing it over and over. So,
no one at Thanksgiving's going to get that.
Yeah, so.
We want a better one.
What else have we had left for us?
Okay,
we're just kind of auditioning jokes.
Here,
go ahead.
All right.
I went to school with John Sicola. He's now a cardinal and was actually runner-up for the Pope, and I was so hoping that he would get it so we could call him Pope Sicola.
Mm. All right, so Pope Sicola is
I like
the punchline there. Yeah.
Hey, let me just say I like it.
Okay.
Secondly, the Pope's usually... They change their name after their name Pope. So it would be more like Pope John, John Paul the Third, or whatever you wanted to use.
No, Sicola.
They wouldn't add the Sicola. But still, it's still good.
Well,
I don't know if
well
we're going to use
that
one, but it's in the hopper. So see, jokes are hard. They're real hard. Tell you what is weird and awkward and terrible.
What?
Oh my goodness. Well, if you read a book on the back of most books,
mm-hmm.
they'll have endorsements.
Yes.
From people. They're like, this book is incredible
mm-hmm.
from Rick Warren, or this book is amazing from John Piper, whatever, some
right.
big wig.
Uh-huh.
My job, I just wrote a book.
Okay.
It's not out yet, but I'm in the phase now where they're like, okay, you got to get endorsements. I didn't know that was on the author.
Okay. Well, it kind of would have to be. Right?
I don't know. I thought the publisher would use their contacts.
Oh, and send it out to some important people. No, because you want people who know you.
I
that
guess.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But there's. Think about how awkward this is no matter what. Like, hey, you look up old friends. I need you to say something nice about me. Go.
Yeah. And not just say it. I need you to write it.
I can't do it.
You can't. What?
No, I can't.
Well, you have to, though.
I know I do. I've sat down to email people. Like, how does that come out? Like, hey, you need to read this. And you need
so there's two assignments. Read this
read
book.
Read this and enjoy it. And then tell me how awesome I am. Boy, that's bad. You had tension in church?
Yeah.
Prayer?
Yeah, we have these little prayer circles we do every morning, they say, every Sunday morning. Turn into groups of two or three, check in, say prayer requests, and pray for each other for about 5 minutes.
That's cool.
Yes, it is. So we turned in our circles, and there was a husband and wife, and the wife said her prayer requests, and then there was like this kind of silence, and she looked at her husband, and she goes, "All right, go ahead." And he said, "I don't need you to tell me when to go to pray." And she's like, "Well, then go ahead. I know it's my turn. Well, if you knew it was your turn, why didn't you go?" And the rest of us are in a little prayer circle looking around like, okay, so.
That's kind of awesome.
Is it?
I kind of salute that because, and this is truly, they're not being fake.
No.
And that's married life. And okay. As a dude, I would not want my wife either saying, "Okay, you share. Go. Share your concerns." No, I don't want, what? Can't make me share my concerns. Science news. Everybody is excited about this. Everybody.
Everybody.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. We landed on a comet.
Okay.
Producer Sherry, think about it.
No, I'm thinking.
This is not the reaction that this warrants. Staring at me with eyelids half closed. It's not.
That's all I have.
Think
I'm so
about
sorry.
It.
Okay.
A comet.
Got it.
In the sky.
Yeah.
We have pictures, mm-hmm. crystal clear mm-hmm. pictures from the surface of a comet. They're amazing. You right. see the surface of the comet, and then in the sky you see stars.
Mm. I mean, we see stars from the Earth.
Okay. Well, I'm excited about it. I just wanted to say that I'm real excited. Nobody else is. I am. I love it. Thank you. Yes.
Yay. Woo!
High five to myself. Yeah, I got a party going on in here. Nobody else cares about it. Whatever. I hope we're ready for this. We ready? We ready?
Yeah, okay. I am more than ready.
Here is the challenge that is happening here. Challenge happening right here. I've been given 10 minutes to write a song based on Jake's Facebook status. His status is this. He says, "It's weird. I look at pictures and I don't look awesome, but I look in the mirror and I do look awesome."
Okay.
I don't know, you know. What's up with that? That's his Facebook status. So I'm going with this. Let's okay. see here. This isn't easy, by the way.
No, I've seen the process.
Grant
so.
Grace.
Okay.
People be graceful. Okay, he looks awesome in the mirror, but not awesome in photos.
What's up with that?
I don't know. You know what's up with it.
Okay.
Something it.
Right.
There we go. Here for okay. real, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Something isn't right here. I'd do something if I could. I look in the mirror and I'm looking pretty good. When I see these photos and I'm like, hey, what's up? Because there's some disconnect between what I look like in the mirror and in these photos. And then I go to the big chorus. I look awesome in the mirror, but not in these photos. I look incredible pretty much all the time, but not in these photos. Maybe good lighting is where it's at. I don't know, you know, what's up with that?
Wow.
Thank you.
That is powerful.
I know. Yeah.
You broke yourself up.
Jake, I want you to know that I'm feeling it. I don't know what's up with that either. I don't get it. Here's another feature of the program that we hope you will enjoy. We're very honored by this. We are visited occasionally by the Advice Goats.
Uh-huh.
TM. They are huge.
Goats, G-O-A-T-S.
Right, the advice yes. goats. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people at first are like, what do you mean advice goats? Well, they're goats who give advice.
And they're incredibly wise.
They're great. They're like Dr. Phil, but hotter right now.
Right,
and so
yeah.
people ask questions. If you have any advice questions for the advice goats, we'll ask them. We'll get their take on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, the stuff they have to say, you're like, well, that's a lot of insight.
I tell you what, my mind has been blown on several occasions.
It is mind blowing. So the advice goats are coming up. Someone had a question about family at Thanksgiving. Be good to hear their perspective on that.
And if you're in the car or somewhere thinking goats can't give advice, you're going to want to stick around.
Yeah.
Because you're wrong.
Because they're going to put it in your face. So brace yourself for that. We have a question here. Hey, I wondered if the advice coach could answer this. This is from Cheryl. She says, we want to invite my in-laws over for Thanksgiving, but we've never done that before. And they've never offered to come over either. We don't get along that well yet.
Oh, boy.
I'm kind of wondering if they think it's a good idea. So she's kind of wondering what the goats, what the advice goats have to say about this. So we will turn to them and ask what their take is on it. And
Okay.
That's true. Now, they're saying the root word for hospitality actually is from the word hosties, which is also the root word for hostility. But they're saying when you extend... True. Got it. Okay, they're saying when you extend hospitality to someone who's your enemy, mm-hmm. that's true hospitality.
Wow.
The root word contains both meanings there, which is significant.
Huh.
And the last little one you heard there...
They got a little... it was animated.
Yeah, it was throwing in that, look... You need to set a tone. It sounds like you're newly married. You need to set a tone now for hospitality and at least extend the invitation. And if they say no, that's up to them. But don't be offended. That's what they were trying to say.
The goats are just brilliant.
I know. It blows me away. A lot of people don't realize until they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was real insight. So thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you.
You guys take care.
All right.
They're headed out the door right now. But the advice goats are just, yeah.
See
thank you. I know. Your honorarium. I know.
All right.
Got it. On the way out the door. Like, we have to pay him right now? Ugh. That's what bothers me about those guys. I appreciate what they have to say, but if you're that wise, then off the air, you should be kind as well. So, I hope they're not in their van yet, because they could be listening. And I'm sorry, but that, to me, they're great. That's all. They're great. I'll get over it. Okay, we need a good joke, and maybe you can help out with this. It would be a real help to us if you could do this. This is for all of us to use at our respective Thanksgiving gatherings.
I'm still not sure that we need
because
a Thanksgiving
you do, like a good joke breaks up everybody. Everybody's rolling around laughing. It's just like, oh my goodness, that is the funniest thing. And then everybody's relaxed, and now we have better social
interaction. Yes. Okay.
And am I the expert on social interaction? No, I'm not.
Mm-mm.
But I also, I've learned things like one good joke and then everybody's like, oh, that guy's cool.
Okay.
You never hear him saying that, but you can tell they're saying that to each other.
They're saying it through their eyes.
Anyway, so we need a good joke.
Mm-hmm.
We need you to call and leave a message of a joke.
We've had some. Yes. They haven't been bad, huh?
Do we have one ready to play?
Do you want to play one? I can.
Sure.
Okay, let's
if
see.
If you can't,
here.
Now, here's the thing. You call 888 phone number.
No.
855-90 Brand. That's funny because Sherry was concentrating on something else, but she still can tell that I'm making a mistake on the air. Nope. 855-90 Brand, and then leave a joke, and then if we find a good one, we will.
Okay. Well, we're confident of that.
You want to play one?
Yeah, let's see what we have here.
Somebody left this.
Yeah, on the number there.
Right.
Okay.
Why was 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, so.
Right. And so
it was delivered with authority.
It was.
So that was good. Yeah.
And I like number jokes.
Yeah, sure.
That's solid.
Okay.
That's solid. I like that. That's what we're talking about. I mean, if that one doesn't win, then maybe you got one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can use it. So anyway, 855-90 Brandt. Quality. This is such an incredible story, and it's happening right now. I mean, it's not like something where you get a book later, like this person went through this. She's going through this right now. Her name is Nagme Abedini. She's a friend of our show, and her husband's a friend of our show, Saeed. He's in prison in Iran and has been for over 2 years. He hasn't seen his family in over 2 years. He's from Idaho. He's an American. Went back to Iran. He was setting up orphanages that the state of Iran said, oh, it's going to be fine. The country said, no problem. And then they took him prisoner because of his faith in Christ. We're going to talk with Nagme in a few minutes. She's fascinating to talk to because she's going, again, we all have struggles. And then we hear theoretical religious sounding answers to them. But when the rubber actually hits the road, like it really matters. It's fascinating to hear somebody talk about what God means to her, what Jesus means to her while she's going through this stuff and wondering, where's my husband? And are my kids ever going to see their dad again? Just wanted to check in, see how you're doing emotionally. Where are you right now? Just wondered. Do you go through stages of
emotionally?
Stuff? Yeah.
You know, I was just actually this morning I was reading Philippians 3:8, where it says, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord." And I was thinking that there's been a lot of downs, and it's been hard. It's been harder as the 2-year mark has passed, and just learning to let go and count everything that I hold dear. Including having a family, everyone together, as loss, and just saying, okay, whatever comes my way, whatever is hard, it just draws me closer to God, and allows me a deeper intimacy with Christ and knowing Him. And so it's just whatever, it's everything mm-hmm. that I count as dear, you know, I count as loss. And ultimately, all this pain is leading me in a deeper knowledge of Christ, and it's really bringing me a deeper sense of peace and joy. And as I guess dig deeper into Christ,
is when you go through your day. I'm just curious. I hope nobody feels like there's a right answer to this, because I know there's not. But when you go through your day, do you think about Saeed every second, or do you get a few minutes occasionally, or you're distracted by other things, or, you know, I don't even know how to phrase that question.
Every minute, every minute, you know, Boise, when I'm home, especially, is everything. Actually, when I travel, but Boise is everywhere we go. There's a reminder. There's a memory of me and Saeed, or the kids and I with Saeed, or things we would do and as a family, and just even Aaron's taking Jacob to his karate classes, and they say, you know, your mom and dad, you know, and he looks and there's no dad, or, you know, at their school they do this son and dad, you know, dad and son program things and sports, and Jacob brings the flyers, and he's dad, there's no dad to do it with, and just there every day, you know, especially seasons, Thanksgiving, Christmas, but just every day I think about him. He's definitely missing in our family, and especially when I'm home in Boise, everything is a reminder of the times we shared. When I travel, I miss him. I look at the airport and I think, wow, you know, this is my journey at the hotels, and there's not one minute that goes by that I don't think about him and pray for him, wonder how he's doing.
Mm-hmm. What's the last interaction you had, or the last message you've gotten from him or anything?
It was his mom left, you know, a couple of weeks ago. This is the second Wednesday that there was no visitation for him, because his mom has left Iran. Because of pressures from the Iranian government, she was the one visiting and providing updates and messages to me. So the last couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago was the last time. And so Saeed has no visitors now. And I think it was just how touched he was to know so many people were praying for him. He knows his family shared with him. I sent pictures and messages. He knows that you were at a prayer vigil, Brant, and he was so happy to hear that, and just so looking forward to meeting you. But I try to give as much updates to his family, pictures and updates of the prayer vigils as possible, so that he would be encouraged, that he's not forgotten. And he got to see a lot of those pictures and was just so encouraged by them. And that was the last communication of how he's doing. And it's been hard, though. My daughter just celebrated her 8th birthday, and she was 5 the last time we celebrated her birthday together as a family. So 3, you know, especially when they're so young, 3 years going by. We haven't seen him in 2.5 years. So 3 birthdays going by is very hard, very difficult.
I have a problem when Carolyn and I aren't together for a while, or I start to forget what she's like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you struggle with that at all?
You know, it's we do. Actually, one of the biggest fears of my kids was that the first few weeks they would cry and say, "Mommy, how does Daddy look like? How how does he sound like? And we would play videos and show pictures. They've gone through their albums so many times, almost every night, and that some of them are falling apart and trying to remember him, hold on to some memories of him. I have felt the same. Syed has had more advantage because his family has been able to take pictures into the prison and show him, but they're not allowed to take pictures of him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not able to take phones and stuff and take pictures of him. So he's actually seen more pictures of us, and especially the kids growing up. But it's been, you know, it's you're right. I know the first few months where Syed was in solitary and going through a lot, he did share with his family that one of the greatest things, fears he was going through was he'd forgotten how we looked like, you know, how the kids and I looked like. And so his family was able to eventually get some pictures to him. But yes, that's definitely something I think about.
Well, we're thinking about you guys all the time. And I am glad, as this thing has just stretched on interminably for you, and that at least it does seem like when I bring up Syed now, people tend to know who we're talking about. Like, at first, I felt like I had to explain the situation. There's still people that are unaware, but your efforts have meant something. I mean, people know because you've been traveling and you've spent so much energy. There's an awareness. It's actually pretty remarkable. You sense that too? Well, like, people are far more aware than they were a year ago, even.
Oh, definitely. I was in Arkansas, and the Duggars invited me over to their house, and they knew all about Syed. They were praying. I met randomly Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty. He had heard about and seen it, but just sitting in the airports, like random different airports from, or, you know, in Florida or East Coast or, you know, anywhere, and I sit next to people, and they're like, oh, you know, they recognize me, or they've heard about Syed. And so it's really interesting. I feel like there's more awareness. But you've really taken this on from day one that Syed was arrested, and you've really, your efforts of getting people to pray and join the cause has really blessed our family. And we got to, you know, meet you. Wow, was it last year?
Yeah, you believe that?
And I just am so blessed by our friendship, and really have felt your support has meant so much to me. So
well,
I appreciate that.
We feel the same way, and please know that you matter, your kids matter, and you're never far from our thoughts. And that's the same with so many people. And we know prayer matters too. And that's the thing too, just theologically thinking through this, or I don't know, just thinking through it intellectually or something. Like, when you do pray for something so intensely, and you know other people are doing it too, God's not ignoring the prayers. So he's hearing our prayers. So which makes me think there's a reason for this, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bigger purpose.
Do you?
You know, and as you mentioned, I especially ask for prayer not only for Syed and his release, which is something we pray for every day, but the kids. A few nights ago, we were reading scripture together, and we were talking about the birds of the air and lilies of the field, how God takes care of them. And I asked them, "What are you worried about?" And I thought, I just didn't cross my mind that they would both just, my daughter especially had tears in her eyes, and say, "What if we never see Daddy again?" And I realized, wow, this is something that goes through their mind every single day. What if it's become a dream? Like, Syed's been gone for so long. Having him next to us has become a dream, and they're afraid that it might never happen. And so I do think God is doing something. Even I've seen it in my prayer life and our kids' prayer life. When we pray, it's drawn us closer to Jesus and waiting expectantly for something, knowing that God is up to something, you know, and just trusting him on the timing.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @BrantHansen and on the web @BrantHansen.com.